Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Well, how's your health? Even the most spiritual have aches and pains, and they die. As the Apostle Paul declares, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together even until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit." So we are not any less spiritual just because we suffer physically. On the other hand, the Apostle John wrote, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." What a promise for the year ahead. Was there a relationship between our soul's prosperity and our physical health? What relationship is there between health and holiness? Is it God's will that we have feeble knees and hands which hang down? Or did not the Lord indicate His more perfect will is, let it rather be healed? Hebrews 12:12-13. Well, Dr. Granger Westberg, professor of preventive medicine of the University of Illinois Medical School, comments on the need of ministry to the whole man.
We think that health care needs to take care of the whole person, and that the temptation in scientific medicine is to look primarily at the body and to deal with the physiological aspects of it, with some interest, of course, in the emotional. But we find that family practice doctors in particular are saying over and over again that maybe 50% of the patients that come into their offices have problems that are probably as much in a minister's field as they are strictly in a doctor's field. And so the family physician is now saying, we need to do this together, and so there needs to be a multidisciplinary approach to health care.
Dr. Granger Westberg, professor of preventive medicine of the University of Illinois Medical School. When a recent poll taken in the United States, 90% of those questioned said they believed in God. 75% said they believed in Jesus Christ as God's Son. But only 60% said they would turn to a priest or minister in a time of serious trouble. Although these figures show the importance of having a religious faith, the evidence is, my friends, that few put their faith to practice in real-life situations, according to this survey. When we say we believe in God, do we really mean it? Then let's prove it. Can we testify of everyday occurrences where God protects, keeps, heals? For instance, what about your health? Is there any relationship between health and holiness? That's an unusual question, but it's our subject. We might ask, what are the great needs of Christians today? Could the answer be health and holiness? Well, so many letters we receive are related to either physical or spiritual needs. There are those who suffer from arthritis or a heart condition or some similar malady. And there's the request to pray for unsaved loved ones or for release from habits of sin and lust. Well, did you know God wants to answer prayer and providing both health and holiness? He wants to heal as well as to give victory over our sinful habits. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, one of the best-known biblical scholars, reminds us that the word holiness can be traced to a simple Anglo-Saxon root which means whole, complete. Morgan notes, from that root two words have come into common use today, namely health and holiness. And so do you see the relationship between having good health and living a holy life? Well, Dr. Morgan notes, in our differentiation in the use of words which have originally the same meaning, we have applied the word health to things physical and the word holiness to things spiritual. But, says Dr. Morgan, what health is to the body, holiness is to the spirit. And taken in its simplicity, holiness means health, wholeness, perfection in the spiritual sphere. Well, friends, it's in view of our Lord's coming that we read of God's preservation of both the physical and spiritual part of man. Listen, turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24, where we read, And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Did you hear it? Now first we point out that the word for sanctify and the word for holiness are the same in the original Greek language. So a sanctified person is a holy person. One professing holiness is one who claims to be sanctified. They're all in essence the same Greek word. In the second place, God's purpose is to sanctify us wholly. You probably think I'm saying H-O-L-Y, when in reality the word used here is W-H-O-L-L-Y. God's word is that you be sanctified completely. And he goes on to spell out the areas of our sanctification, our body as well as our soul and spirit. Now God wants our bodies to be sanctified. That relates to our physical well-being. Some wrongfully suppose that the Lord is interested only in our soul. But this scripture reminds us he's also interested in our bodies. The prayer of the Apostle Paul is that the spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's this definite relationship between health and holiness. The person who prays and reads his Bible daily and believes in a God of miracles should experience miracles, should enjoy an abundant life of miracles. On the other hand, a person who drinks and smokes and carouses in sin should soon realize the results of such dissipation and diseases, such as associated with such activity, cancer, liver trouble, heart failure, and similar maladies. Actual surveys that have been taken show Christians who live clean lives have a much healthier body and a longer life than those who are not Christians. For this reason alone, we would conclude that it pays to live a decent, upright, clean, healthy life. Now in the third place, we'd emphasize that these verses we've just read have their greatest application as we get closer, as we get nearer to the coming of our Lord. For God's will is that the whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, naturally, we assume God's grace does keep our spirit and soul until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, even if we die. But mention is also made of keeping our bodies until the day of his coming. Thus, we have to conclude that the great power of God is available to believers today to cope with every situation of life, so that for some, they will be here when Jesus comes. Finally, in the fourth place, we point out that God's able to keep us, spirit, soul, and body, until Jesus comes. For this scripture goes on to tell us, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. For living in the day when we believe our Lord is soon to come, and if we're anticipating being alive when he comes, then we can maintain that hope because of God's promise here in his word. It is possible some may not have this hope because they think the coming of the Lord is a far distant event. But if you believe his coming is near at hand, then cherish the thought of being alive when Jesus comes. That's a better hope than being in the grave when he returns. Well, some are like Martha, to whom our Lord said, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha replied, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But Jesus answered, "I am the resurrection, I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Well, Martha replied, "Yea, Lord, I believe." But did she really believe? She did not really expect the Lord should raise Lazarus from the dead. When our Lord asked for the stone to be removed from the cave, Martha protested, saying, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." So Martha didn't really believe what our Lord had just said, that though Lazarus was dead, yet shall he live right now. Rather, she said, "Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God." Now, that's important to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Peter, too, testified of Jesus, saying, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And our Lord honored Peter by saying, it's upon this testimony that he would build his church. So all who truly confess that Jesus is the Christ, who died for our sins, and truly receive him as Lord and Savior, can be saved. But what about believing that the Lord can keep us now, keep us alive and well, even unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? What about believing that the Lord can meet our physical needs, that He can preserve us spirit, soul, and body until the day when He will return? Is this an impossibility? Or is this your hope? I suppose it's all right to own a cemetery lot. That is, if you expect to die before our Lord comes. But why not let our hope be in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who promises to transform our physical bodies into the likeness of His glorious body? For some, death is a detour. Absent from the body is present from the Lord. Yet there's this excitement, this thrill, this anticipation of being alive when Jesus comes. Our Lord would ask the question, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? What kind of faith do we have? Do we believe the Lord can keep us until the day of His coming? Or have we given up hope that we will be alive for that glorious event? Understand, we have no assurance we'll be alive then, for no man knoweth the day nor the hour when our Lord will come. Nevertheless, this can be our hope. Based on the verses we've just read, God's able to preserve His spirit and soul and body until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Do we believe it? Well, we're convinced if we had enough people believing the promises of God's word, we'd see such miracles wrought that we would prove God's power is available, that God is alive. Though we say He's alive, we often act as though He were dead. There's some churches which offer sums of money for evidence of proof of a single miracle today. The truth is, they wouldn't even recognize a miracle if they saw it. However, my friends, there's coming a time when the Bible tells us one will appear we call the Antichrist. And the Bible says he will deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of miracles which he had power to do. Some people who don't believe God works miracles today will accept the miracles wrought by the Antichrist because they'll be deceived. Why is it that some people are ready to criticize those who believe in miracles? After all, the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The way to please God is to believe he's a miracle-working, all-powerful God who rewards them that diligently seek him. But we're living in a push-button age. If we don't see answers to our prayers after 5 minutes of praying, we don't believe in miracles. Well, our Lord reminded us that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Do we believe this? Where do you see that kind of faith? This would seem to be the ultimate in believing in the power of God. The Apostle Paul writes, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And so it is faith that worketh by love, that brings results, that will be rewarded when Jesus comes. So today believe His word, obey His commands, love the Lord with all your heart, trusting He will come for you when the trumpet sounds, when the dead shall be changed, and those who are alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Indeed, be ye therefore ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Will you be ready to go when the morning sun comes riding down, his eyes are faced with many crowns? Will you be ready to go?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.